Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry. This is the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. Today I'm going to be speaking on the subject of being a doer of the word. James said in James 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You must look at the fruit in your life to be sure that you are a doer of the word. If you've already decided that you are a doer based on some religious man-made checklist, you will be deceived. Or maybe you've deceived yourself because all your doctrines are now correct as far as you are concerned, and you are a doer of the word. The church of Ephesus was good in doctrine and teaching. Yet Jesus said in the book of Revelation, this is Revelation 2, starting in verse 4, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Verse 6, but thou hast this, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God sent you here to be salt and light to others. He even gave the church in Ephesus a candlestick so they could be seen by many. If you are a child of God, you can connect with God, and he will give you the fruit you need to demonstrate the wisdom that comes from being a doer of the word. If you want to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God, it is not enough to be born again. This verse tells you have to overcome. Your fruit shows whether you really trust him and whether you have made him Lord and through the power of the Holy Spirit have overcome the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Paul described these fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. All these fruits are available now when you live in the kingdom. You may believe you belong to Christ, but Paul says, if you do belong to Christ, then you have crucified the flesh with all its lusts and passions. Christianity is not just another religion. It's a relationship with God. Do you want a relationship? Or do you want a religion? Some want to be Lord of their lives and still make it to heaven. If you remain Lord of your life, then you will continue to sin and never get to know God. If you want to walk and talk with Jesus every day, he has to lead and you have to follow, not the other way around. He knows where he's going and you do not. You are blind without him. And if you are still walking with Jesus, the fruit has not dried up. Make sure that you get the right foundation before you start. There are two parts to the cornerstone, and if these are in place, you become a doer of the word. Number one, Jesus has to be your first love. Number two, Jesus has to be Lord of your life, and you follow him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It should be evidence of the transformation since you came in Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness. You were translated at salvation by grace. And then through the forgiveness of sins, you can get back in whenever you come out. Now there is no excuse for not getting to know God. Jesus is the living word. He is the vine and we are the branches. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We have to abide in him, because without him, we cannot produce the fruit. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. A doer of the word will have an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit. Also, you cannot produce this abundance of fruit without being a disciple of Jesus and getting on the narrow way. Maybe you didn't want to hear that. Maybe you wanted to be a doer of the word and still be Lord of your own life. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There are three roads that you can be on. The obvious evil road leads to hell, and those living in open rebellion and sin know that they are going to end up in hell. Then there is a narrow way with a narrow entrance, and you must make every effort to enter. This is not for the lazy or the lukewarm. If you do not work out your salvation in fear and trembling, you're going to end up on the broad road. Then how will you inherit the kingdom? Jesus said in Luke 13, 23 and 24, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that only that will be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Please refer to the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hedgecock and read the first section in this book, which includes several chapters on the three roads described in the Bible. Paul says to a church that is learning to obey, even in hard times, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Hallelujah. Time is running out. Jesus is coming again soon. You need to enter and abide through obedience. Otherwise, you'll not be ready and get left behind. You cannot claim to be in Christ if there's no fruit of the Spirit. Human effort will not do it. But the Spirit will produce fruit that will last. When the trials of life come, this will show if you are really a doer of the word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Verse 27, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Did you really establish Jesus as Lord of your life at salvation? My salvation is based on his lordship. Have you forgotten how sinful you were in the past? That you needed to be saved from yourself? If you continue to be Lord of your life, the same bad things will appear. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, this is Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Galatians 6 verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." If you don't like what you're reaping, then stop sowing to the flesh. It's simple to change the quality of your life through repentance. Paul said in Romans 8:13, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Just because you are born again, you are not exempt from the curses of a sinful life. You must deny yourself now and follow Christ. If you keep listening to the devil, you will end up denying Christ instead of following him. You may deny him because you're afraid of suffering. But Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2. And this is verse 12 and 13. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." Verse 13, "If you believe not, yet he abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself." If you trust him, he will help you to be a doer of the word, because he is faithful. He is the living word. He cannot deny himself. But if you deny him, he will deny you on the last day. The psalmist says this. This is Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. The water in this psalm represents the living word. To get to that place where you have fruit in season and out of season, you must refuse to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Someone who's ungodly is without God and is not listening to him. Not everyone who's born again is godly. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You cannot expect anything godly from someone who is not spiritual. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can ye know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And again, 1 Corinthians 3 and 19. Paul says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness." In Psalm 1:1, the word scornful has a primitive root. It means to make mouths at, that is to scoff, or hence to interpret, or generally to intercede, but to interpret or make mock or mockery or scorn. Someone who interprets the Bible with their mind is scornful. He even mocks little instructions that come by the Spirit. You can find preachers today that adjust the Word of God to fit their doctrine. They interpret and water down the truth to make things easier and keep people comfortable. This is devilish. Such people do not like the idea of asking God everything. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Even when somebody who says, "Lord, Lord," but does not do the will of God is scornful. You should not become comfortable with people like this or being around them. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." The promise in Proverbs is based on trusting God with all your heart. If you do this, then you have stopped leaning to your understanding and ask him instead, and then he will direct. God can make a few exceptions and still direct you, but this is by grace. One Pentecostal pastor told me, "Just pray for God's directions. You do not need to ask God everything." But the life of faith starts with not consulting your own understanding, asking God everything. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, he said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Ungodly people will tell you God has given you a brain and he expects you to use it. They have no fear of God. They do not realize that everyone will face the judgment for spending their time doing something that was not God's perfect will for their lives. There is an opportunity every day to get on the narrow way. When you are in the flesh, you are committing sin, but you're also failing to do what God planned for you that day. By using your mind, you are again committing the sin of omission. Jesus is our best example. He came to die, That was the plan. But first, he had to fulfill many prophecies. He had to qualify to die on that cross. He had to be the perfect sacrifice without spot and wrinkle. Jesus was faithful to the end. In John 5 and verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise." Jesus finished his work by listening to his Father and doing what he saw his Father doing. Jesus was perfect and never sinned once without consulting his own will. Because of this, he understands where we are. Paul said in Hebrews, this is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin." You might be tempted to go back to the flesh, especially when it's easier just to use your own reasoning rather than ask God. Look at Jesus and those who have godly fruit. Our profession is that only through Jesus being Lord of our lives can we finish that which we came to do and overcome. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Any situation that says we do not need to hear his voice is exalting itself above God. You have to resist any thought that says, I can do something without depending on his timing, his power, and his direction. Everyone will have to obey Christ eventually. Paul says it in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God." And again, Paul says in Philippians 2 and 10, "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." Challenges in the world today keep us dependent on him. We came here to make a difference. And the only way we can do this is by having our faith in him and waiting on his solutions to our problems. Your faith was designed for these uncomfortable situations. When your faith is stretched and squeezed, it will get stronger. It's like a muscle. Temptation and lies is what destroys faith in God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." We do not escape these difficulties so that we can be doers of the word. We need these difficulties to confirm that we are doers of the living word. Jesus said in John 17 and 15, he said, "I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil." In your mind, you might think it's easier to be faithful if you do not have to fight for the faith all the time. James said it like this in James chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he anyone. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You cannot win that crown or finish your race by giving in to temptation and by taking the easy way out. You cannot overcome sin by getting in the flesh as well. You can only endure temptation by having the fruit of the Spirit, which you can develop now, ready for the evil day. Matthew 11:29. This is Matthew in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. His yoke will bring rest for your soul. Do you believe this, or do you believe a lie that God's ways are hard? Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have freedom, but that freedom does not mean you consult your own reasoning again. A wrong yoke can be something you are craving, or a religious obligation draining your energy slowly so that you do not even notice it. You will not be free to serve God anymore because you are yoked to something other than Jesus. And that is what is wearing you out. A yoke is a bondage. A yoke of bondage is like a ball chained around your leg. It makes you feel guilty too. It can be a religious burden, trying to maintain some outward righteousness or appearance. Just trying to be faithful can be a yoke of bondage. You cannot be faithful in yourself. Joseph Hedgecock defines faith in God like this. He says it's trusting God that he is trustworthy to do what he said he would do. You have to be yoked to him and his will for your life. You came to this earth at this time for a reason. How can you be faithful if you are not faithful to the calling he gave you? He will even give you grace to do it. You do not have to do the work. Best of all, he will honor you for letting him do the work through you. There is rest for your souls too. And if you are learning from the Master directly and cease your own laboring and reasoning, trying to get there by your own efforts. Being yoked will teach you true faithfulness. He will lead you and you must follow. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Jesus has made a way for you now to hear his voice. Jesus is meek and mild, and he's offering you the easy way with him in charge. He knows the way. Matthew 11:30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you do not resist, the journey is smooth. When you are yoked to him, you are not following a way that seems right, but it is a way that doesn't make sense to your carnal mind. In Psalm 1 and 2, we read, this means to to have pleasure, it means to desire a valuable thing, a matter, acceptable. Things desired, something that has some purpose. Those who are doers of the word delight in the law that God wrote and want God's perfect will done in their lives. Jesus has now fulfilled the law, and in the New Testament has given us a new higher standard that looks at your heart and your motives. This looks harder in the natural, but it is not when he is your first love. John 14 and 15 says, and Jesus said it, if you love me, keep my commandments. When you're in love with him, you will not be thinking about yourself. You just want to please him and seek Jesus for commandments daily. You will not have a problem denying yourself and taking up your cross when he is your first love. I never heard of anyone getting burnt up from seeking God, hearing God, and obeying God. In John 14 and 21, it says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Not everyone who is born again is seeking God for commandments. In Psalm 1 and verse 2, he uses the word meditate. This has a primitive root which means to murmur. It means to ponder, imagine, meditate, mourn, mutter, roar, speak, study, talk, and utter. The psalmist says meditate. You cannot expect to be a doer of the word without meditating on what God is saying to you personally. To get revelation from the head to the heart, you need to meditate on each truth. This is not committing scripture to memory. You can write down what he said, but he should be the one directing what you think about at any given time. Jesus said, in John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit, so you do not need to study by consulting your own mind. To meditate means you have to look up a number of verses, but these are what he brings back to your mind, and you go through them with some conviction as well and cry out to God. Paul spoke about the last generation. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The last generation does not know how to learn spiritually because they will not endure sound doctrine, which brings conviction and correction. Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 20 and I'm reading to 24. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul had to tell the church that learning starts with truth and conviction, and you cannot learn without true righteousness and true holiness. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Spiritual study means you will not be ashamed again. And it is part of working out your salvation, not just for teaching others. In Luke 11 and verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." We need to find God now. We can seek God now while there's still time to repent. I study so I can change. But there is coming a time soon when you will knock and the door will not be opened. Jesus said it in Luke 13 and 25. He said, "When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door and seek and saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and we shall and they shall answer and say unto you, I know you not where who you are." To get to know God, you have to keep records of what God shows you so that you can come to repentance and be a doer of the word. You can develop a notebook so that you can go back and check yourself and see. Record the date when you first realized something was not right. Then later, you can see how by working on something patiently, it eventually changed in your life. Not everything is instant. People today want everything instantly by a quick prayer. But where prayer fails, repentance will work every time. Paul mentioned true righteousness and true holiness. Some people assume that you do not have to seek righteousness. But Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus said, if you do not seek, you will always be running empty. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Seeking his kingdom means seeking his effective control over your lives. It might be that you started with just a primitive form of communication, but now you have an opportunity to learn to hear his voice. Every form of communication is valid. In the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock, there's a whole chapter on being state-of-the-art Christians. Please make sure you get a copy. In the Gospel of John, this is John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The living word has to change you first, and this will produce everlasting life, which is knowing God. If you're not applying the word to yourself, how can you pass it on to others? Otherwise, you'll end up passing on the devil's counterfeit instead. Jesus spoke about his food like this in John 4 and 34. He said, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Meat here is literally talking about real food or meaty food. And Jesus' food was two things. Number one, doing the will of the Father in everything. Number two, finishing the work that the Father gave him, or finishing his race. Don't just claim you are righteous when there is no evidence of abiding in Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, and Jesus said this, Matthew 12 and verse 32, and whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Your righteousness is in Christ. But if you resist the Holy Spirit, you will come out of his presence. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. If you resist him, there is no grace and mercy. Without the Spirit of truth, there is no protection against the lies of the enemy. Nothing to stop you sinning. For more information about the Holy Spirit bearing witness, please refer to the book Three Infallible Witnesses by Joseph Hedgecock. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you are coming in and coming out of Christ all the time, you are not righteous, you are lukewarm, and you will be left behind. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, here is described the word of God. Isaiah 55 in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. God is speaking all the time. He is transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. These are some verses in the Gospels. And this is what Jesus said. Matthew 11 and verse 15, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4 and verse 9, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4, 23, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And again, in Mark 7 and verse 16, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears to hear, there is always more, depending on your maturity. The Bible says in Psalm 42 and verse 7, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Christianity is a relationship. And you can only get to know him through repentance and by deepening your humility. The psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. You cannot hear the answer from God if your mind is still anxious. Your mind has to be still, not empty. There are things in your mind that need to be deleted so that you can obey God. And these are ways that seem right and lies from the enemy that need to be removed. This is a delicate process, but it can be removed later with God's help. You must be prepared to repent of anything he shows you. We start with truth. James says this in James 1:18. Of his own will begotten us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. You may only hear God speaking through a preacher or experience conviction through the Bible at salvation. But when the word of truth pierced your heart at salvation, you responded to it, and the Spirit of God came in. Responding to conviction is also being a doer of the word. You humbled yourself, and you did whatever God was requiring. Jesus said in Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Verse 5. "Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth." Verse 6. "And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away." Verse 7. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Verse 8. "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Matthew 13 and verse 9. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." The seed is the word that needs good soil. The seed is the same for everyone. What determines the effectiveness of the seed is the ground, whether it's been broken up properly by repentance or not. Through what Jesus has done on the cross, we can all now hear his voice. James 1 and 19. He says this. This is James, the book of James. James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We are the problem. If you want to be a faithful doer, you first have to hear. God is not the problem. He is speaking all the time. He is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for everyone. Do not blame the devil. The devil lied, but you listened to the voice, the wrong voice, rather than the truth, because of what he offered. You will end up being weak and more prone to temptation if you listen to the devil's lies. Come into the light and you will find truth. When you live in the flesh, sin is invited. When you live in the flesh, the devil is invited. If you are easily getting angry, then it is because you are missing God's perfect will. James continues. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." There should be no frustration creeping in. If you are getting angry, this shows that you do not have the ability to hear God as you should. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 7, this is the epistle of John, 1 John 3 and verse 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous." If you're getting angry, then you are not on the narrow path. James says it like this in James 3:15. "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." Verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Take time to believe in God's wisdom for your situation. Do you believe what James said here, or do you have unbelief? He said that superficial wisdom, not from God, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Joseph Hedgecott says in his book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, on page 92, regarding the three voices, when God speaks, obey him. When the devil speaks, resist him. And when self speaks, deny yourself. If we are not still, how can we hear his thoughts? Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Joseph Hitchcock says in chapter 1 of his book, Sound Doctrine, on page 9, There are over 5 billion people on the earth. And if you put all these minds together, including the intelligence of the geniuses, it would still be foolishness to God. God's ways are not man's ways. They are as high above man's ways as the heavens are above the earth. The light from the stars we see at night has traveled 186,000 miles per second to reach us. According to scientists, that light from different stars left many light years ago. If you realize that God's wisdom is that much higher than ours and our knowledge is foolishness, then add to it the fact that the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. You can see how foolish it is to try to learn to that lean to that earthly wisdom and do the things of God. It just doesn't make any sense. That's why he says, For no man to deceive himself. Don't believe the lie that you can please God or do the work of God from your natural self. You can't. It's not God's way. His ways are higher than man's ways. So this will not make any sense to your natural mind. James gives us the next step. In James 1 and 21, he says, Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1 and 21 in the Amplified says, Get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts is able to save your soul. You humbled yourself at salvation to receive the Spirit and hear. Meekness and humility is now required so you can be a consistent doer of the word. Things he's showing you for repentance will give you ears to hear and to receive the living word. Repentance of small sins must not be ignored, as this might be like spiritual earwax that you need to remove first. Meekness in Strong's is number 4240. And it's taken from the word mildness, that is, by implication, humility or meekness. The word engrafted in Strong's is number 1721, and it's a derivative of the word implanted or engrafted. Engrafted means also engrafted. Webster defines engrafted like this: inserted into a stock for growth and propagation, introduced into a native stock, set or fixed deep. When God speaks, the meek and humble immediately apply the word. It will take deep root in them. Pride will cause you to question God's wisdom. Pride is also the root of the flesh and the carnal nature. Paul said in Romans 7 and 14, For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul was being honest here, that he was carnal and that the law was spiritual because It brought conviction. The Jews are still blind because they're trying to keep the law, but it's impossible in the flesh. And if you're trying to obey God in the flesh, you are also blind. The more Paul looked into the law, the more he realized he was a sinner. Paul said in Galatians 3 and 24 and 25, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Verse 25, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." The law was a trainer to lead us to Christ. And if you are living by faith, you have the Holy Spirit that Jesus paid for on the cross to be inside of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do not resist the Holy Spirit because of unbelief and go back to the law to be justified instead. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 4, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you that are trying to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8, "For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day." And Paul said in Galatians 5 and 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Jesus called himself the Son of Man because he was a properly operating human being, directed by his Father through the Holy Spirit, and he never sinned. Therefore, the law was no longer needed. We can now do the same by being directed by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Romans 8 and 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If you want to be a doer of the word, you have to come to Christ and do everything now by the Spirit from now on. Paul said in Romans 7, 18 and 19, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Verse 19, "For the good that I would do I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Trying to obey God is not just hard, it's impossible in the flesh. When Paul started like this, he did not find it easy. This was frustrating for him, but also for many who are eagerly trying to do the word and to be faithful. But the truth is, man is flawed. Paul concluded in Romans 8 and 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." The flesh is not your mind, but the flesh is your trying to use your mind to work it out and do everything without God. Repent and become spiritual. And it starts with becoming still. Some people do not want to do this, and they keep trying to use their mind instead. Jesus has now fulfilled the law, and God's plan from the beginning was to give us his Spirit and a new heart so that we could be a doer of his word. In Ezekiel 11 and 19, he says, "I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take that stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." And again, God says in Ezekiel 36, starting verse 25, "And then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you." Verse 26, "And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of the flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh." Verse 27, "And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and shall keep my judgments and do them. James says it like this. James chapter 1, verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goes away straightway, and forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you want to be free from deception, then you must be willing to examine yourself. The perfect law of liberty is your spiritual mirror. You have been set free from the law and given the Holy Spirit so that you do not go on sinning. The law and the written word is not the mirror. The teacher is now the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And he can use whatever he wants to convict us. He will show us God's perfect will for our lives. And it will not help if we resist conviction. This is not perfectionism, because each person is at a different level. So what God reveals to you now is what you need to do now. And he will show you something more later on. It's one step at a time. Paul says in Philippians 3 and 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The best way to know that you are still a doer of the word at whatever level of maturity is to look at your relationship with Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Paul said in Colossians 1 and 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And in John's Gospel, this is John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:24. He that loves me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If you are obeying Christ and keeping up to date with his commandments for your life, you are changing. Then he is in you, and you will have the fruit of knowing God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and when you are born again, he comes in you by the Spirit. However, Christ can only move in and set up his throne or his abode in your heart when you seek and keep his commandments by making him Lord of your life. It's like Jesus is on a small throne in your heart, and the big throne is still in the third heaven. The scripture here is saying that you become like an embassy of the kingdom by keeping his word. God is also honoring you because he's using you to reach others. This glory that you bring to God by bearing much fruit is an earnest of the glory that will be revealed. They are linked. No glory now, then little or no glory later. So no fruit, no hope of glory. In John 15, starting in verse 1, we read. This is Jesus speaking. John 15, I'm reading from verses 1 to 3. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Father works on us to produce better fruit in quality and quantity. The Father is the one who brings about corrections to our lives. But this is all positive. It's not the time to get offended when you see the Father cutting off the limited fruit that was being produced by abiding. He does not want others to see bad fruit that is shriveled or contaminated. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." And again, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." God is not the one who makes you sad. Pride is the root of sin, and your sin separates you from his presence, where there is fullness of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that you're working out your salvation and on the narrow way. If that fruit stops being produced, then you know you are being deceived. God can even allow some trials or persecution to wake you up and make you realize that you're falling off the narrow path. When persecution starts, you will find out if you have godly fruit, and if not, then you can repent. Conviction and repentance is what we need to get ready and consistently follow Jesus. Many are listening to a wrong voice, producing counterfeit fruit, and want to enter the sheepfold unnoticed, and they want to believe a lie that they will be saved without getting on the narrow way. And Jesus said in John 10 and verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Those who are not following Christ do not like correction, chastening, or repentance. Beware of leaders who have never been under authority and lack the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7, 15 and 16, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Verse 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles?" When persecution starts, those false prophets will run away. James said in James 1 and verse 2, this is James speaking right at the beginning of chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." When you are abiding in Christ, you can rejoice because you're in the kingdom. You have everything you really need to rejoice. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Paul said it. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Joseph Hedgecock would always say to me, "I can have more fun when everything is going wrong, when most people can when everything is going right." We are to be faithful to the living word, but only he is faithful. So we have to get in him. He does not give you a burden you cannot carry. And the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When Jesus is Lord, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. You do not decide where you're going to be planted. However, you can decide to be plugged into the vine or go back to the old way of just using your mind. Jesus talked about hearing from his own Father and said this, John 17:17, Jesus said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the word. Jesus is also truth. If you do not like truth, you are not a doer of the word. If you do not like conviction, you are not a doer of the word. Jesus said, whatever the Father spoke is the truth. One day you will have a chance of finishing your race. But whenever you are responding to conviction, you're also obeying him. The Father is the one who corrects you, like an earthly father. And you can get to know him if you do not resist this process. The Holy Spirit of truth confirms truth and revelation so you can recognize what came from your Heavenly Father. You cannot separate being a doer of the word from following Jesus. In the Gospels, he says, and this is in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Christ has set you free by letting you serve him so that you can produce the fruit of the Spirit by continuing in his word and becoming a disciple. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny means in the Strong's 533. It means to deny utterly, that is to disown or abstain. It is easy when you're tapped into the vine. Jesus is the vine, he is the living word. You have to stop doing your own works. Enter into that rest. You never see a tree working hard to produce fruit. You'll be like the tree planted in good soil. The energy for the fruit is in the sap that flows. When strong winds come, a tree that has deep roots just will get stronger. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you will fulfill the law anyway because you are doing his perfect will by the Spirit. Webster said the law of God is only a poor reflection of his perfect will. Jesus raised the standard for entering the kingdom of God. There are many different levels of holiness. In a competition, there's always raising the standard. So you will have to be prepared to keep listening and becoming a state-of-the-art Christian if you want to be a doer of the word. Keep seeking, keep hungering, keep thirsting after righteousness. In the book of Isaiah, it says this, Isaiah 51:1-3. Lo, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy. Eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The word itself is life-giving. It's spiritual food. First it's milk, and then you can have solid food as well. Only by thirsting after his ways of doing things will you really be satisfied in this life. You must seek eternal things above, not the things that will fade away and spoil with time. Submit to him, and you will produce fruit. Submit to him and endure any correction, to abide by faith, and you will become an obedient child of God. A strong Christian knows how to abide through repentance and consistent obedience to the Spirit. However, if you do sin, there is only one solution for sin, and that is the blood of Jesus. And in John's epistle, he says this, 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everyone has the potential to be transformed. We were all cut off from God through sin, but now, if you're born again, you can be reconnected to God through the Holy Spirit. It's like spiritual Wi-Fi, connected now through what Jesus did by dying on the cross. Anytime that connection is broken, just confess your sins. If you've been listening to this message today, and you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you've been listening carefully and you realize how important conviction is, and you want to make a fresh start, maybe you didn't really make him Lord at the beginning, but you can do that right now. And you should have a heart for daily regular repentance if you want to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And I want to recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to learn more about how the devil uses lies to deceive you, and you realize he uses ways that seem right, then again, I recommend to you this book, The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hitchcock. The revised edition is now available in English. If you've listened to this message today and you said, yes, I want to be faithful, first step is to realize that there is nothing good in you. Come to him. Learn to hear his voice. If you can't hear his voice, start with just conviction of the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit begin to show you one step at a time. It doesn't matter where you are on this journey, whether you're grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, it doesn't matter. Be faithful with what he has given you. Start where you are in the name of Jesus, and he will take you all the way so that you're ready for his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you really enjoyed this message today, you can get in touch with the ministry. There will be details afterwards. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you desire to know your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in a more personal and intimate way? Would you love for God to direct you in every detail of your life? If so, this book is for you. It'll give you clear, easy to understand instructions on how you can be prepared for an exciting and fulfilling walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. This book from Joseph Hitchcock was written from experience. Experience walked out rather than just theory. If you're interested in this book and many other resources available in different languages, then visit www.solm.org.